listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hold up, wait a minute. All good, just a week ago, crew at my house, and we party every weekend, so on the radio, that's my favorite song. Made me bounce around like I don't know, like I won't be here long. Now the thrill is gone, got no patience, because I'm not a doctor. Go, why is you lying? Go, why you Mufasa? Yeah, Mikasa Tsukasa, got a stripper like Gaza. Got so high on volcanoes, now the flow is so lava. Yeah, we split like saliva, iPhone got message from Viva. Either the head is so hydra, or we let bygones be goggles. My God, you pay for your friends. I'll take that as a compliment. Got a house full of homies. Why I feel so the opposite. Incompetent ain't the half of it. Saturdays, we young lavish shit. Saddest shit that I'm bad at it. That's why we took from the cabinet. Whoa, I'm sorry. I'm just scared of the future. Till 3005, I got your back. We can do this. Hold up. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
No matter what they saying, what they do, when I'm alone, my jam. Till 2005, hold up, we are live on a Sunday afternoon. Yes. Ready to do some podcasting.
Yes sir.
And the day before Karen's birthday, right? No, 2 days for your birthday.
Mm-hmm. Birthday's Tuesday.
Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I mean, might end up taking that day off or something, I don't know, we'll see. But yeah, you guys, thank you for listening. We'll see all a lot of people in the chat room. Shout out to the chat room for being out there.
The chat room
on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. With no sports on.
At least we know we ain't doing this alone. Somebody listening.
Yeah, I say no sports, but I was actually watching the UConn play, the girls team, before we got in here, so that's not true. There's lots of sports on, so we appreciate you being here. You don't all have to be here with us, but you chose to
come on.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
the unofficial sport
bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by all the people that signed up for the blackouttips.com/premium. Thank
come
you
on, y'all, the real MVPs. Y'all keep this boat afloat.
The real MVPs, the people that make us work so hard and keep us working so hard, because we want to work hard, because we like to be to earn our money, guys, and we appreciate y'all. Okay, couldn't have this lifestyle without y'all.
Mm-hmm. And what's and it's really wonderful, and also funny when people actually go premium for the first time. They hit us up on, like, particularly Twitter, and they be like, oh my god, all these episodes, all these podcasts. I'm like, right. Yep, you've been missing a lot, baby.
Yep, you'll never catch up, and that's fine.
Never.
All right, so of course, you can leave feedback for us, theblackouttips.com, vote in the polls, leave feedback on each episode has a post. If you're premium, leave feedback on the premium episodes, we like that. Email us, theblackouttips@gmail.com. you can donate to the show, theblackouttips.com, on the right hand side, donate. You can do stuff like leave us 2-minute voicemails throughout the week. We'll get to them on Saturday. The number for that is 704-557-0186. I don't even know. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher if you haven't done that. We love to see that deluge of just 5-star reviews, like just validating us every Saturday, just like bam, look at this, they still fuck with us. Some of them just, you know, coming out of their shell like, yo, I've been fucking with y'all, you know. So we appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that, because look, a lot of people don't. I've listened to these podcasts, I'm a big avid podcast listener, and some of these people are just putting that stuff out into the darkness, into the void, hoping that somebody's out there just listening,
hoping somebody listening,
or to say, hey, I enjoy what you do. And not everybody's getting that response, so we know that we are fortunate to get that response, and we never take it for granted. And that's why that's why we don't ever slack on that. Like, you never hear us be like, oh man, we forgot to read y'all's reviews. Nah, that's very important to us, because we'll never take it for granted. We do know what you have to say, want to know what you have to say. And you know, it's also a form where people, you know, we require that 5 stars and that politeness, because we want to be spoken to nicely, and I think everyone should speak that into existence. If you don't care about that, that's fine, but I know I do. Yeah, my sensitive creator's ego, like, I don't mind that you disagree, I don't mind that you don't like something I do, but I need to be talked to with respect, the way I talk to people when I don't agree with them.
Come on,
with respect, you know what I'm saying?
I don't like to be treated roughly,
right? Like, if you just leave like 5 stars, you bitch ass niggas, guess what's not getting read, right? So anyway, thank you guys. We also have, well, I have some things I need to get off my chest before the show starts, because I have random thoughts.
Oh dude, let's do this.
All right. The first one is a PSA, and maybe I can make this into a t-shirt somehow. I have to email one of my t-shirt guys. But every time I go on Facebook, it's, you know, because the algorithm and the fact that Facebook has sold all my information and they know me more better than I know myself.
Don't they though?
They advertised this one shirt to me that I would never wear ever. And it says something like this: "Dear racism, I am not my ancestors. Sincerely, these hands." Now, anyone that's listened to the show long enough, or just knows me in real life, or just whatever, you know I would never wear this shit. Cause, I respect my ancestors. Two, there's no way I can make it through slavery. Jim Crow South, lynching. Like, I don't know where all this bravery sudden comes from.
Come on, you know.
From people that grew up with air conditioning and 3-ply toilet paper.
Come on, you grew up where you didn't have an outhouse, you had running water. Like, and that's the thing. Just like we look at white folks crazy, I look at niggas crazy going, do you not understand what happened during slavery either?
All that shit mean to me is you don't read textbooks.
Come
you
on.
You don't read nothing about your history. You don't know nothing about your ancestors. You think they were all docile and they just sat there and took it, and, you know, and everything that happened to black people was just the eyes on the prize, like walking across a bridge with dogs biting a moment. And for the record, those motherfuckers were also tougher than you.
Yes, they were.
Cause they went outside their house knowing they were gonna get water hosed and dogs possibly sicked on them, beaten and maybe killed, and they still went out the house. We get mad because the government wants to put surveillance on marches. Because white people won't stop eating brunch during the sit-in. Like, these motherfuckers was literally like, okay, and this is when the water hoses come out. You know what I mean? Like, Ferguson was such a horrible tragedy to see happen on live TV, but it was also a harsh reminder of nothing's really changed.
Come on.
For the police versus black people, right? And so if I'm not gonna take my ass out there and get tear gassed, I'm not putting on a shirt that then disrespects my ancestors, or even honestly, I'm not putting on a shirt that disrespects our current activists.
Come on.
You know, like I just don't feel that shit is appropriate, but I do feel like I do need a shirt, you know, to say how I feel. And so I came up with one, and it would go like this. Dear racism, I am not my ancestors, so please take it easy on me. Sincerely, these soft moisturized hands.
Come on.
I think I'm gonna get that on the shirt, you know, just to let racism know, like as a heads up, like, you know, I have never picked cotton and don't
never
want to.
In my cotton picking life, I've never picked cotton.
I recognize that it is a lot of work, and I don't think I would like to. Yeah, I've never been whipped with an actual whip.
Mm-mm.
You know, I thought whippings from my parents were plenty enough. You know, that got me just right. You know, I never had a moment of to say my name is not Toby, it's Kunta. I've never had that moment, and I would never disrespect that moment for the ones that had those moments. Okay, no one's ever tried to cut my foot off for anything other than diabetes. Okay. They wasn't like you trying to escape. All right. So I'm not going to disrespect my ancestors like that. Take it easy, racism. All right. Mm-mm. You take the level off of hard, put it on medium. I can deal with some medium racism. This extra hard, like survivors mode. Mm-mm.
Like people playing video games. Some people yeah. I like the video games hard. Nigga, for what? Let's make it as easy as possible. Can we get super easy? Can we do like the kids? You know how kids had their birthday parties, the bowling alley, you had the bumpers? Give me the fucking bumpers in life.
Yeah, like, and it's sad because their sacrifices, our ancestors' sacrifices led to us being able to like, one, it, like try to stand on their shoulders, right, to see the future, which is what you sacrifice for. But it also led to people standing on their shoulders and thinking, I'm tall, like I got here by myself. And that's the only way you can have that sentiment of, I ain't like them other Negroes. What are you talking about? If not for them, it's no us.
Come on.
You know, so it's just, it's weird when people kind of have the backhanded, like, them niggas just laid there and took it. No, they mm-hmm. didn't.
All the fights and revolutions and people taking over the slave ships on their way coming here, like, I mean
just the deaths of people that were insubordinate being branded and beaten. I'm like, I said, you gotta read the shit to understand like what's happening, because as long as you walking around thinking like slavery wasn't shit and Jim Crow wasn't shit and the civil rights movement wasn't shit because, hey, I'm here now and I have my own problems. Like, yeah, you're able to use their knowledge, their wisdom, their trial and error to then inform what you should do. And like, racism back then was on All Madden, you know?
Come on, All Madden Pro.
Like, they was on All Madden with their racism. And they had to find a way to have our asses so that we could live now and be shitting on them? Never. And I don't like that sentiment. And I understand some people find some power in it, but I don't. And I think the context really matters here because I can't divorce their sacrifices from the context of the history they lived through and be like, yeah, but I would have. Maybe you wouldn't have. Maybe you would have. But guess what? That means you just don't know the story of the person that did, right? I would have punched the pops in the face. Somebody did that.
Yes, they did.
You know, I ain't scared. They had to kill me. They did kill people.
Yeah, come on.
So let's leave our ancestors out of the shade. All right. More random thoughts, guys. A picture of weaves and wigs will follow anyone on Instagram. I don't know what it is about all these accounts. Like, I mean,
they will.
It's like every time it's like, you got a new follow. I'm like, oh, let me see who. Oh, some weave. Never mind. I'm not following them back.
Mm-hmm. Some wigs.
Yeah. Oh, it's some. Oh, Hawaiian Silky followed me. Oh, that's cool. I don't know what it is, but everybody got followers like that. I follow mostly Instagram models now, and now fake Instagram model accounts follow me back, which I don't understand.
Right.
You know, also Instagram models, I don't know what the formula is, but on Instagram, like, they will be like, I'm private with 35,000 followers, but then they'll allow you to follow them. But I wonder why they were private. Why aren't they just public? It must be like, it must be something attached to Instagram. I don't understand Instagram that much. Mm-mm. I mostly just follow Instagram models because if you thirst after them, it's no complaints.
Yeah, yeah, because you know? Everybody got their own rules on what's creepy, what's not creepy, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And you have your right to that, but I don't know the goddamn rules, and it's the wrong time for me to be figure it out is when I just happen to be scrolling, because you know shit, when you see stuff, sometimes stuff posts out of order, something you posted 10 days ago or 12 days ago and I like it, and then all of a sudden somebody going, well, they dug in my archive. I might not have dug in your archives. I might be actually seeing this for the first time.
Yeah.
And then people complain about it, so fuck it, I'm just gonna follow people that says I want you to like my shit. All right, we all can like each other's shit then.
Right, like it's like I like the Instagram models because they simple. Like, they either have an inspirational quote under a picture, like they butt, you know what I'm saying, which I get that now. I got inspiration and booty, cool. Or they just like twerking directly into the camera, so if you like put the like on it, it's not some like weird like, why did you like my pic? And I think that's the simplicity that I go to Instagram for. I don't want the stress,
right?
Because I've heard people talk about their Instagram experience, and yeah, you do see people that are like, so and so like 10 of my pictures, that was creepy. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I didn't do that, but
right.
I didn't know that was creepy, you know what I mean? Like, you know, this man, you married and you liking pics. I'm like, my wife, no, I like these. Is this a problem?
Right.
Do I have to send a memo of approval first? I don't want you. Is that okay? So I can't deal with the rules. So I,
right.
You know, I
and
just.
The, and the rules are buried. It, right. Put like this. If once you join Instagram, they gave you a set of rules, go, hey, these are the rules everybody followed, I will be cool. But the rules vary depending on the person, and different people have had different interactions with people on social media, which makes them feel certain ways, and they're valid in those feelings. But I don't know you as the individual. I don't know right. your rules. So right. I would rather follow somebody that goes, hey, I want all the attention. Cool.
Mm-hmm. The other thing too is I have friends, and my friends are beautiful people that I love. Like, so.
Right.
You know, my friend posts a picture of them. I'm feeling myself today. I'm like, get them, motherfucker. Like, get that. Go out there and get it. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's the kind of support. But you just.
Right.
You never know. It's text. And then it's like all these little hidden rules. I don't want to ever be like. I don't want to ever. In my mind, I don't want to be like, yes, girl, go get they ass. You know, like, I don't want to be like that. But then they hear me as like, you know, yeah, girl. Go on, get it. You know, I don't want to be, you know, it's like a fine line out there. And apparently it's a lot of motherfuckers that's crossing the line. So.
Right. And there's a lot of creepy ass from a female perspective, a lot of creepy ass dudes, and you don't know which dude is like cool and which dude is like extra creepy. So, and it's hard for you to navigate. So, like I said, and I completely understand the feelings are valid, but because I don't know, like I said, your individual rules, I'm like, cool.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I just don't like playing like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I have a tight enough friendship with somebody, I'm okay. Like, you know, it's like, girl, you killing them in this dress, you know, whatever. Like, we could do that, you know, or, you know, even, Justin's in a suit at a wedding. I'm like, oh, okay, I see you out here stunting tonight. You know, like, that's cool. Cause we tight enough, but I feel like, you know, I don't feel that tight with everybody. And I definitely don't want to be nobody's like, this nigga is married talking about some, he, talking about go get it tonight, you know. Oh, okay. So I just don't play on people's accounts, but let me tell you where you can comment: pictures of weaves and wigs
come out all damn day long.
They don't complain at all. You like, oh, you stunting on them, Hawaiian Silky will like that comment every time.
Yes, they will.
Someone hacked the Mueller account, the Mueller report. Just go ahead and do that. The Mueller report. Can we just hack that right away?
Hack everything else.
Y'all niggas leak everything out that White House except the shit that I want to see. How's that work? That's how you know Russia doing the hacking. Cause don't nothing that hurt this nigga ever get hacked. Oh, the DNC emails is leaking. RNC shit. They got hacked, but it never came out. Yeah. Cause y'all on their side. God, Americans so fucking stupid. Cause it's people that fall for this shit. You know, the DNC leak showed the corruption. They said they didn't like Bernie. Oh, you mean the guy who's not a Democrat, who's trying to usurp the party from him? They didn't like him, but they still didn't rig any votes or anything against him? Interesting. I just find it kind of wild that we never get the hack to like, yo, here are Donald Trump's health records. Here's his actual, like, he lied to y'all. Here's his actual medical, like, records. Here's his taxes. How come nobody leaked that? Where's his grades? Nobody ever leaks the shit that I care about. Cause I'm not, you know, some moralist about this shit where I was like, it was wrong to hack Hillary. And so now it would be wrong if, no, send me the link. Let's see it.
That's a motherfucking lie about every goddamn thing.
That's how you know WikiLeaks on his side and the side of evil. But people are gonna fall for it. Y'all ever see somebody on Twitter and Facebook and they complain so much about every Lyft and Uber ride that they get? It's like the drivers can never do nothing right. Every time I took a Lyft today and the car smelled like coconut, and he turned around and said, how are you doing? And that is a microaggression. And I sat there silently with my headphones in.
Yes.
And I was forced.
Like they do a fucking Yelp review. You be like, this is about everything but the context of the place in your meal.
I was assaulted with his conversation of the weather.
Oh, I got in and he said nothing. How dare he assault me with his silence?
Right. His silence suffocated me in the back seat as we microaggressively turned up the radio.
It strangled me past every light. What?
The radio was on a song I didn't like, and he didn't know this. One star. Like, it's just too much. It's like the fucking rideshare people are supposed to be psychics. You know? Like, when people say, like, social media is blah, 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 making us weird, and our social cues and all that stuff, you know, I try to fight against that a little bit, because I'm like, niggas were always weird, but there's something to it.
It gets to a place, in my opinion, and maybe this is just me, and I know this might be not the correct thing to say, some of y'all niggas is crazy. Okay. There are some things that you go, that's valid, but then you get to the point where you go, oh, you're a motherfucking lunatic, this shit don't make no fucking sense.
Right? It's like it's almost like you're just cataloging the shit to report, you know? Like, how do I report on this? You know, you guys wouldn't know it, but every time me and Karen travel, we take a lot of Lyft and Ubers and shit places. Yeah, like 99.9% of the time, nothing fucking happens in there that's worth talking about. They just give you a ride to a place.
Nothing.
And they might ask, they might give you some polite chit chat, which would otherwise make a weird experience with two strangers sharing a ride somewhere, hopefully a little more polite. And I guarantee you those guys get just as many, like, people that hate that they don't talk then they hate that they do talk. Like, they can't read minds.
Correct.
Like, maybe everyone else should just wear a t-shirt that's like, you can talk to me. you know?
Yeah, maybe they should have a quick survey when you get on, be like, would you like to talk? Yes or no? Like, before you even get into the ride, to at least let them know what they're walking into.
Like, what you in town for is not like an attack on your soul and spirit as a human being. It's not, you know, they don't deserve a medium piece or a fucking 27 page thread,
right?
About because they ask you how, you know, like, hey, what are you in town for? What do you do for a living? Jesus Christ. This is why stand-up comedy shows and Twitter just are such a bad mix, because everyone is turning themselves into their own, like, I'm the story.
Right.
Even when there's a stage and a microphone and a light that says this person's the story. And in this motherfucking Uber driver's life, you're not a story. You're just a person they're taking from place to place. Unless something truly egregious happens to you, how the fuck is every ride a problem? And that's when I said, I'm not saying I do this, but I thought about starting a GoFundMe to get this person a horse or a car or something. Like, you need other trends. If this is on your nerves so bad, like, what do I do? I can't even imagine you taking a bus. Like,
public transportation or subway.
Like, you probably jump off a bus in the middle of it moving because there's so many people in there and they all breathing microaggressively and shit. He inhaled and exhaled over and over the whole trip. I just didn't understand what this man wanted from me. He turned around and said, nice weather we're having. Is it nice, or is climate change eroding our entire system? I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, you might have some, like, help. Like, you should get that checked out. Like, some therapy or something. This is not reasonable. And then the worst part is, because it's, you know, social media, people choose to follow you. Motherfuckers will be in their mentions like, yes, that's what I'm talking about, girl. It was too crazy. I mean, I hate when they ask me how the weather is. I mean, did I ask you? I'm like, what is happening? What's happening to human beings? This is not, like, this is not okay.
Yeah, it's almost like we're at the age where people really don't know how to interact with each other. And then, you know, people wonder why a lot of people don't talk, because if I say something, it's a problem. If I don't say nothing, I'd rather, sometimes in certain situations, I've learned, I just don't say shit. If you don't speak to me, I won't speak to you. And I don't have a problem with that. But like you said, some people have a problem with you, because this is the thing, people want to be acknowledged, and then they get acknowledged and they have a problem with the way you acknowledge them. Something's wrong with that.
Well, what's wild to me, Karen, is that I know, because I always say the internet is closest thing we'll get to being psychic, right? Social media is closest thing we got to that, because you hear everybody's thoughts, whether you want to see them or not, most of the time. But also, it's done something to us individually, because there used to be a time where your thoughts, there were some thoughts when you said to yourself, oh, I'm the one tripping.
Right.
Because I don't think that these thoughts are so unique that no one else has them. Mm-mm. I feel like we all have these moments.
Mm-hmm.
We all have these moments, but there's a little voice inside of you that's supposed to check yourself just before you tell the world what the fuck was in your brain. You go, am I the one tripping?
Right. Okay, I'm tripping.
He offered me some peanuts, and my first thought was to tweet, I got a nut allergy. This driver just tried to kill me. Am I tripping? Because I couldn't say no to the peanuts. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm tripping.
Yeah, he offered me something that wasn't gluten-free.
Yeah.
You know, but I have problems. I have gluten problems.
I'm just saying, man.
But the driver don't know that, though. But
some
know.
Of the shit's for you. And once you make the 12th Lyft ride complaint to the social media queue, maybe you got to say, can y'all start a GoFundMe to get me a horse? That's all. Maybe I just need a companion.
A go-kart or something.
A live companion that doesn't talk, that will get me from place to place. I could tie it up in town, come back and ride it home. I mean, maybe you need a horse. Okay? Jesus Christ. But yeah, I've never started that GoFundMe, but I thought about it. I was thinking, man, I made it to a new milestone in life, I feel like, where we put our car in the shop, and now I can say, when they call me with whatever the damage is,
right,
I feel relatively confident being like, you can do all of that work.
Ain't that a good feeling? Lord have mercy. It used to have to be an a la carte.
It took 40 years to get here.
Yeah, but like, you could do this.
And,
can't do that.
And I'm not saying any amount. I'm sure there's some there. I'm sure if we had some major shit to the car, I'd be like,
yeah, not to save up for that one.
Maybe, but it was a time, y'all. Okay, if I can testify, it was a time when everything was a negotiation.
Everything. Can y'all give me a discount? What's the cheapest brand?
I think it's a small milestone to a lot of people. Maybe they've never even experienced what I'm talking about.
Come on.
But for many of us, check the checkers, it's actually a major accomplishment when a motherfucker call you back and they be like, sir, we looked at everything going on and it's looking like it's the brakes. You need the brakes replaced. Oh God. Oh.
Right?
How much is that going
to make
how
your much? Heart rate, your hand sweat?
Like, I just start turning into a rude person. Like, just get to the point. How much is it?
Can I still drive it? Will it pass inspection?
Right. And then they'll be like, it's going to be $750. $750? Okay. Ooh, okay.
Can we do half breaks?
I just turned into motherfucking Chris Rock from I'ma Get You Sucker when he was buying one rib. Like, okay, well, how much is one wheel? For a break.
Can we do used brakes?
Like, how much? Okay, what if I just want to brake? I just want to slow down, but I don't want to stop.
Okay.
How much is that?
Can we do one right now and I save up and I get the other one 2 weeks from now?
What if we just put brakes on the right side of the car and I only make left turns to go home?
Come on!
Like that was a time where that was real. Like, it's not even funny. It's not even a joke. I'll just be like, okay, so, four tires?
All four.
Pick the two that's the worst.
Yes, sir.
And let's start from there. Which two do you think got to go?
And them two is the buy one, get one free.
Like, I know mechanics hated to see me coming because they knew it was going to be a long call when they called me back. I'm like, oh. So you saying the AC is broke, and needs Freon?
You mean like,
what if I just wanted to get like cool but not cold?
Come on.
How much is that? How much is, like, you know, like, say you would like to get it to 70, but it'll get to, like, 80. Like, how much is getting down to 80 degrees in the car, you know, on a hot day?
Like, right, and you'd be like, hey, if I keep this tape on this right light, can I still pass inspection?
Right, yeah, like, is you sure that's, I need all the oil? What if you leave some old oil in there, and then you put, like, half of it as new oil, and then, like, I'll just, you know, it'll dilute the oil, and then I can get my oil change 1.5 months rather than, you know, the 3 that you told me. So is that gonna work?
Yeah, how much longer can I have this engine light sticker on before I got to get some shit done?
Okay, here's it. What if we use some canola oil in addition to the regular oil? Would that cost less? Because I can go right up to Harris Teeter and get some, like, vegetable oil, and we can just, like, fix this right now. No, that would blow my car. Okay, all right, well, you got me in a rock and a hard place here. being that the car just barely made it in. It was such a struggle, And then, like, when they tell you the amount, you got to start doing the math of, like, which credit cards can I put it on?
Come on,
like,
you might have to split it between two or three of them.
Okay, what if I write you a check? But I can't pick the car up till Friday after 2 p.m.
Come on!
Just in case you niggas try to get to the bank too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a dog. It was not a game. So it's like, I just.
You be like, I'm gonna have to leave that shit there till next pay period.
It's just a small milestone. It's a small milestone for us, but it's a big milestone for us. Cause in life, it's a small milestone, but for us, it's like, wow, I never thought I'd be at a point when we take Karen's car in the shop, the guy's like, yeah, it's gonna need rear shocks. And I'm like, how much? And he's like, blank them out. And I'm like, let's just go ahead and get it done today. Just rip the band-aid off. Used to be a time it's like, baby, your car not drivable, so I guess I drive you to work this week.
Come on.
And we'll see what happens in a week or two.
All right. And then they was like, you need a wheel. I was like, a fucking wheel? I was like, the whole thing. I thought the wheel was a tire. Show you how much I know. Roger was like, no, those are two separate things.
Yeah, so it was and plus, I don't know shit about cars, so it's like,
right?
They call me because I'm the guy, and Karen always gives them my number.
Yes, I do.
And they call me, and then they're like, yeah, so we was looking at your flux capacitor, and it's looking like the optimum drive is starting to crown. And I'm like, all right. what's the number of money? Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you, sir. What is the number of the money? That's the thing I can tell you. After that we can start compromising. It doesn't matter what the parts do. I'll figure out the compromise when I don't have the money. It's looking like it's gonna be $1,000. Okay, well, we definitely don't have that, so let's break it down. The flux capacitor, how much is that to replace? Okay, what if we stop the crowning just for a little bit until I can get some more money? Like, come on, dog. It's so intense.
Yeah, and the biggest reason why I do that is because I know statistically and all that stuff. Like, I know I can do it, but I know a lot of times they will respect you more than they respect me.
You don't have to explain. I get it. I'm not mad or nothing. That was a passive aggressive. It's fine.
No. I was just speaking out in general.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's just crazy. Like, your car is out of unobtainium, sir. Okay.
Come on.
All right. So, how much for more unobtainium? How much is that gonna cost
me? We're gonna have to put some more gamma rays in this. Okay,
the gamma rays. Okay, I feel you. How much is that? Like, let me, the worst thing with mechanics gotta be just like doctors Google, right? Because then I'm like googling my shit, like, hold up, let me, that normally runs 250 and you can get a used one. So I'm just saying, sir, that should not be more than 250. He's like, looking on Google again. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's not real.
We you know, it's parts of labor. Like, we got to do some shit.
That's a message board from 2003, sir.
Yeah, the rates have went up. But what even kills me, when they be like, we're sorry to tell you, but you got to go to the dealer. You're like, fuck, what do you mean I gotta go to the dealer? It was like, nobody sells, you know, that. You, the dealership is the only place. And you were like, I know I'm getting fucking overcharged.
Yeah, the car, it's like, plus the message boards, they like, it don't have all the details, and you go in there thinking you know some shit. Like, I know my alternator is the problem, and they're like, sir, that message board is for trucks that were made, the Model T, the first Model T truck by Ford, that does not apply to your 2017 Sentra. Yeah. You those prices, those parts, none of that is real anymore. Just give us the money.
Yes, and what even kills me, like I said, we done came a long way, because you know how you walk in there, particularly you have the newer cars, they be like, well, we gotta run a test. And a lot of times a test, particularly if they need to check electronic problems and things like that, because you know it's newer model cars, well, you know, of a certain age, and you'd be like, how much it gonna cost? They were like, $100. You be like, $100? They was like, yeah, and that's just to diagnose it. That's not on top of whatever other problems that we might find. You be like, can we do 50? Can we do 45? Why I got to be 100? Like, ma'am, like, labor, we got to hook a machine. You be like, word.
I mean, because it's 100 because of how we used to have no money. You have to charge them 100. Because if not, because I know what number I tell you, going to say, I can't afford it, give me my car back.
Correct.
So now I just did this shit for nothing. So that's why it's 100. I would call you 100 to look at your shit too. They probably don't even hook it up to nothing. They just take it back there and be like, the alternator is fucked up. They ain't got no money. Just tell them $100 and let them go back and try to start this shit again. So yeah, I'm just saying, man, it's a lot of work, but you know what? This level of money is a good place for us. We've never been here before.
Mm-mm.
I hope to stay here as long as possible. The last level of money that we got to, that was a big milestone for me, and I hopefully some of y'all experienced it in the chat, maybe y'all, or hopefully you've never known the struggle, I don't know, but
because we've had the struggle.
The level we was at before this was relatively sure my card won't get declined.
Come on.
Was a big milestone for me. Big milestone. Like, before this, it was kind of 50-50. Yeah,
fingers crossed.
It was, I hope I check my bank balance right before I came up here, and I think nothing else should have cleared before it was time. Should I write a check for this? I know no one writes checks, but that'll give me an extra day or two to make sure that the money is right. That was a big milestone, the day that I could give my car to somebody, and if something happened with the car in the machine,
I would be
my first response was like, oh, you made a mistake and should run the card again. That was a big day for me.
Come on. I will be the white woman. I'll be Susan. Do you need to call you need to call Visa? Cause I know I got money on there.
I remember one time I was so, okay. So I was at home by myself. I don't know where Karen was, and I had like diarrhea, and I was running out of toilet tissue in my house, and I barely had any money in the bank, but I knew I had some, right? And I knew to the penny, like $27.06 or whatever.
Come
right?
on.
So I go to Harris Teeter and I buy like Pepto Bismol, some toilet tissue, way below the $27. It's Saturday morning, like early Saturday morning. And keep in mind, the clock is ticking because clearly I have diarrhea. I have to get back to my house immediately. And so I'm there and they like run my card and it doesn't go through. First of all, it takes forever. And I'm like, why is this shit taking so long? What the fuck?
I got money
like,
now.
It feels like it's taking longer than normal because I have to shit. So it's like an extra level. Like it probably took 60 seconds in real life, but it was 27 minutes in my brain. Like 27 minutes to run my card. And they're like, I don't know. Maybe it's, is everybody's stuff down? Let me run it one more time. And they ran it. And once again, another 27 minutes, nothing. And so I was like, I don't have time for this shit. Literally. And I didn't bring a checkbook with me at the time, so I was just like, I will leave everything here and walk the fuck out. And that's what I did. I just walked out. I didn't check anything. I didn't go run it again or call the bank or any. I said, fuck it, I'm out. I don't know what happened. I gotta stop at some other place and figure something else out, or I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, you know, I'm gonna go in Harris Teeter and steal y'all's toilet paper. I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed right. to do. And I went out to my car and I checked the online app, and BB&T's app was down, so something was on with the online with the bank for it,
right, with the bank.
And then I drove to another Harris Teeter and it came back up just in time, and I bought the stuff. But I'm saying there was a time when I was like, I know I have the money because I just balanced my checkbook and I just looked at my account.
I went to
and
the
shit said, you don't have the money. I said, I don't have the money, bye. Bye. Sorry to waste everyone's time. Good day, everyone.
Wouldn't even challenge it.
Sorry that you have to restock the Pepto and the toilet paper, which obviously tells everyone what my problems are this morning. I mean, we're past pretense at this point, guys, okay? We're all becoming a little closer right now. We all know what's going on right
now. In my body.
With this purchase selection. Everyone's hip to game, okay? Someone needs Pepto and nice, gentle toilet paper, okay? Because it's not a game. So, but yeah, that was a lot. And the other thing is declined. The word declined. Declined. I declined. Declined is such a nice word for what it actually means.
Means, right. Yes, it is.
Because when your credit card doesn't go through, when your bank card doesn't go through, do any of you guys feel like someone politely declined? Like declined is your waiter coming and going, sir, would you like more pepper on your pizza? And you go, I decline. More parmesan for the table? We decline. Thank you so much.
Right.
No, what declined feels like is like Dikembe Mutombo coming from the weak side.
Come on!
Where you think you got a dunk and just slapping the shit out of the ball out of bounds and then waving his big ass finger in your face with that accent and being like, not in my house. That's what the fuck it feels like. That's what the decline feels like. The decline doesn't feel like someone like motioning you away with a hand like, oh no, please don't go out of your way. No, decline is like declined, nigga. It should have exclamation points when it says decline. It like that sound that it makes when you put your chip in, is that should be the sound it makes when it's declined. Like, no.
Right,
nigga, no, get out of here, you broke bitch. What are you doing in here thinking you can have dreams and shit?
Aspirations.
Dreams of toilet paper and Pepto-Bismol are not for you, peasant. Now go into the bathroom, go into the woods and wipe your ass with some leaves, you broke bitch. Like, that's how it feels when you get declined.
Yo, for real though.
Everyone looks like, you can tell because he like, the cashier looks ashamed of you.
Like, right, everybody, especially you got a line, everybody looks like, ooh, you wasting time. You know you ain't had the money for that shit. But also, the thing is, the way it is now, it's weird though, because when it comes to decline, it's weird what they choose to decline, because sometimes you can make certain purchases and it'll go through, but certain purchases would trigger something in their system and they will decline it. And you'd be like,
I have no idea I've never had this happen.
Like if I remember Mr. Spam was saying he went to go purchase a gun and it declined. And that's because when you make certain purchases like that, it triggers something in the bank and they'll decline certain purchases to force you to call them.
I've never experienced that. You've experienced this?
I haven't experienced that.
Oh, but you I've just heard of it.
Right. I've heard other people saying like when you make certain purchases, it triggers something in the bank.
That, see, now for me, that's not as big a deal.
But you don't know and you still get declined.
Yeah, not as big a deal. Not as big a deal. Because that means that person that specializes in that job knows that that happens. So I don't, I'm not bothered by it. Like,
but
hold on, let me just explain, please. If I'm at the gun store and I get declined because specifically because my bank doesn't approve gun purchases without blankety blank, the gun store guy knows that because that happens all the time because it's at the gun store. If I'm at Kroger and I get declined where nobody's supposed to get declined, it just means I'm broke. So it is a big difference.
It just means I'm broke.
It's a big difference. Like, yes, you can get declined at the gun store and it can be like nebulous, like, if anything, it's a better excuse. Oh, it may be a security thing, sir. Call your bank and find out. Oh, okay, cool. It's not that I'm a broke ass nigga that can't afford a gun. If I get declined at Harris Teeter, I'm just a broke ass nigga that can't afford Pepto and toilet tissue. And it could just be my bank is down. But no one goes, sir, your bank is probably just having problems. No, they say you broke. Get the fuck out. No, you can't take anything with you. And the whole time it's taking 17 minutes to ring my shit up because the bank is delaying on the internet or whatever the fuck, and I'm just sitting there in my head trying to like process what's happening, make trying not to make too much eye contact, and it's probably a person behind me in line looking at me like, this broke ass nigga, look at him. And then they probably look at the person behind them in line like, I'm not holding us up, it's the broke dude in front, and all in my brain in front. It's really a shame the riffraff they're letting into this Harris Teeter these days. We used to have a much higher quality of clientele.
They let anybody blow in here nowadays. Now, and I do understand your point, but my thing is, if you are the consumer and you don't know, you get that same feeling from it being declined because you, as striking that card, you don't know it's going to get declined.
Like I said, totally different scenario.
True, I understand.
I will not even consider it close to this. Like, I wish that's how my card got declined. I wish it was left me some excuses that wasn't just a broke dude should not be up in Publix. Like, you knew you didn't have Publix money. You pauper. Get out of here.
They look like, how dare you?
This is high society. And you would dare come in here with those shoes and that card?
You take that to the Dollar Tree, sir.
Sir, we don't accept WIC. You know, like it just make you, it's just a bunch of shaming. Like I said, I know
that that's what it is. Yeah.
It was bad too, cause that day I got declined for the toilet paper and the Pepto. It was actually worse than if they like shunned me. The woman behind me just felt bad. Like, sir, do you need me to buy that for you? I was like, no. I will shit in my pants with dignity. It's okay.
I would do this with pride.
Oh my God. What a day. Anyway, let's get back to the news. There's a lot of news going on, everyone. In case you didn't know. A lot of black stuff happening.
Oh, one thing I want to say.
Yes, but let's get to what Karen has to say real quick.
And this is not really a random thought. This is just something in general. We spent some time with my brother-in-law, his wife, and my nephew. And I know parents probably know this, but a good 45 minutes running around with the child is a great workout. Great cardio. Mm-hmm. Play hide and seek. And I kept getting found, and he kept hiding up underneath the table, and I was like playing like I couldn't see him, and I was like, where are you? He was like, I'm here. I was like, I can't find you. I had a ball, but when I tell you, I broke out into a good sweat. I was like, woo, this is some good cardio.
Yeah, Sebastian's such a good, like, I was talking to his father, to my brother. I was like, yo, he's such a good communicator at three. It's like you forget, you really forget he's three, cause he is so articulate about like what he wants,
how he feels.
And so like he just, you know, and he's also at that age where it's, you know, terrible twos or whatever it is, or threes. So he's like, you know, he'll like lie to you, but they're like kid lies, so they're kind of adorable.
Yeah,
you know, like you say, yeah, I was chicken nuggets, but he hit him under a mat. So I was like, you can't
come
really,
on,
you can't really be mad at him. It's like, come on, man. But also, this is hilarious. You know, like he's so cute and he knows it. So he's just funny. Like, he got stuck in his chair. We were watching Black Panther because he's a much like J.L. Covan's nephew. He has good taste, so he wanted to watch Black Panther. And we were watching Black Panther in the NCAA tournament at the same time. And he was like, when he got done and he wanted to get up and stuff, you know, my brother's hands full, so I had to help him get up out of his chair. And he's like, I picked him up. He's like, you big. I said, I know, man. And then put him down. He said, thank you. That's why I love you. I was like, oh, man, you're really good at this manipulation thing. You're
real good, buddy. Andy.
Now, yeah, now I feel like you ate all your chicken nuggets, but you didn't, did you? No. Yeah, that was just a little game you played on me, man. But nah, I love that dude. So
yes,
that
was honey. Fun.
We don't get to see him enough, so we're gonna try to make sure we get to see him more often.
Yes, we was running around like a table, and he was like, I'ma get you. I said, no, I'ma get you. He said, I'ma get you. And so we was running around, and so what I did, I tricked him. I actually mid-stopped and changed directions, and when I did that, I think I fucked up the game. He was like, oh, she coming at me. he wasn't expecting me to do a sharp turn.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he loves like all the nerd stuff and superheroes and Teen Titans and all that stuff. So that was, I was like, man, you know, Rodney, to be the cool one, you kind of had a nerd kid, like your kids. I said, you had one of me. What's going on? Like, you missed the basketball, knew all the hip hop and shit. And, it's like Sebastian gonna be reading comic books and watching, and I felt so like, happy for Sebastian because he's gonna grow up in a time where there's a Black Panther.
Come on.
There's a Dark Knight. Shout out to J.L. Covan. He's gonna grow up where, like, there's the Marvel Universe. Like, there was, like, not just representation wise, because everybody's always like, Black kids need to see Black. I'm not even talking about that, you know. I'm talking about competent nerd media. We didn't grow up with that. I didn't grow up with that.
Shit, I was watching CGI.
I was watching David Hasselhoff, and I was watching Lou Ferrigno painted green. Like, these kids, man, they got it good, man. Like, he loves Into the Spider-Verse. I'm like, bro, we had Spider-Man climbing up the side of a building every week because of the special effect you can do by just shifting the camera to the side. Like, I grew up with Adam West Batman. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, man, you got it lucky, man. You can just throw on, like, hey, I want to watch Into the Spider-Verse. Okay, like, dope. So, all right, let's get to this news. Apparently Diddy posted on Instagram a tribute to the mother of his children, Kim Porter.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't go as planned. Now, we know that she passed away last year.
Yes, she did.
And I didn't have much to say about it on the show because I think a lot of the coverage and a lot of the talk about their relationship is really about people projecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about people that maybe, like, whether it's people that felt like he should have married her because that's what you're supposed to do with the mother of your children or whatever, and the fact that they had a good co-parenting situation or whatever was like, wouldn't, why not get married? There were people that were like, he cheated on her. There were people that were like, he was going around with Cassie or Casey, however you say her name, I'm sorry to fuck it up, but going around with her for a while and they never got married, and then they projected on that relationship. It was, well, she never want, what if she don't want to get married? What if that's the problem? Y'all worried about Puff Daddy. I'm like, okay, cool. She's a strong, independent woman and she don't want to get married to Puff Daddy. Then the second that they broke up and she started dating another guy, those same people were like, he should have kept it. He should have. That's why you put a ring on it, because now she done left your ass and now look at you looking stupid. I'm like, I thought y'all said that she, okay, so it was whatever y'all needed it to be at the time.
To fit your narrative.
To fit your narrative. Cool. Mm-hmm. And Kim Porter has kind of been that way too. You know, there's a lot of pieces that were written when she died that said she's not just the woman that had Puff Daddy's kids, and they went through her catalog of accomplishments.
Right.
And I said, okay, I respect that. I feel you. Like, y'all, it hasn't been me that defined her that way. It's really seemed like it's been a lot of y'all that defined her as her relationship with Puff Daddy. But cool, as a reminder to everyone, she's bigger than that. It's more than that. Her life was more, it wasn't just about whether or not she marries this one dude. Got it. So she dies, you know. He mourns, obviously. This is a person he was very close with, much closer than any of us could be. It was a person that was the mother of his children, that in many ways supported him, had his back, you know, early in his career and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're aware of all these things, of their relationship and his, you know, his life has been, you know, half reality star, half music mogul.
Mm-hmm.
People feel a entitlement.
Yes, they do.
Over his life, and in a way that they should, I don't think they even question the accessibility of being able to like comment about his life and his grief and his children and his, and the mother of his children, as if he's not a person almost.
Mm-hmm.
As if he's like a character on a TV show to them.
'Cause he is.
It's just not real to them.
It's not.
So he posted his Instagram tribute to her, to Kim Porter, and he got people saying comments that were kind of out of line, in my opinion, but he kind of handled it with grace, which you know, I don't know if it, I don't know, I can't possibly know what he's going through, but he handled it in a way that I think a lot of people would not, or he would have been entitled to tell them to mind their fucking business and shut the fuck up if he wanted to. But he didn't go that route.
And actually would have been justified, but, you know, that would have been considered quote-unquote rude.
Right. So, yeah, he said, it was a picture of him and Kim. He said, I remember Kim flying to see me on the set of Can't Nobody Hold Me Down. She took, like, a 12-hour flight to L.A. and a 3-hour ride to the desert with no complaints. Was always ride or die from day one. I called her Bonnie and I was Clyde. This picture will go down in history as the first time I said she was mine and the first time I told her I love her. Little did I know I was hers. Miss you, Bonnie. Heart emoji and will forever. Man, life is beautiful to have had these experiences. Love you, baby. At Lady KP. Right? And that's on his Instagram. And someone responded, but you ended up messing with J-Lo at that time. Meanwhile on Instagram,
yippee-ki-yay,
and he said, yes, I did.
Yeah, because that's the thing, once you admit something, you take the power away from them, corner, because that's the thing, people, we live in a place where everybody's like, shame for everything you do, meanwhile nobody know a jack shit, no fucking thing about you, because your life now is public.
Yeah, well, also there's two things about it, right, in my opinion, because if we admit that we all make mistakes, we all fall down, quote unquote, or we all have regrets, then that should actually be an equalizer.
Correct.
But it's almost never treated that way. People act, when they point out your mistakes, they treat themselves as I'm perfect and I don't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
When they make a mistake, everyone does it to them. You know, and that's the only time, it's like when you make a mistake is the only time you want to be like, well, let me provide, we should be more graceful for everyone and provide grace. Rarely do people do like what he just did, admit it, like some level of like, you know, like, yeah, that was, you know, and by the way, he responded to a few more comments too that were like, you know, him trying to explain like, yeah, I this is the thing, I took it for granted, I didn't understand, blah blah blah. And I'm like, are y'all even happy? Is this what y'all wanted? Do y'all feel better that y'all made this grieving dude?
Mm-hmm.
Go, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's something within them, because people fail to realize celebrities are people. They're people, which means that they do and they can respond if they want to. You know, it's almost like people expect celebrities to be the type of people that you're above responding. Says who?
Right.
You in your normal, you know, us in our normal lives, we opt to respond to what we want to respond to. Some people just go, I won't respond to nothing. That's cool. Some people go, I respond to everything. That's cool too. But it's technically his page and they came on to his page, you know, so he has the right to respond however he wants to. and he has to deal with the consequences of how he responds. But I don't think there's nothing he said that was nasty or mean, well, from what I'm hearing so far, that would make people be so over the top, other than we just know you're a celebrity and we don't give a fuck about your feelings or your emotions. We're stripping you of all of your humanity. We don't care about your grief. We actually don't care about her dying, because if we did, we wouldn't even come at you like this.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, I think also it's just when there's so much projection onto you, and you're not, it's not really you talking for yourself anymore. But like, there's a lot of people that's like, the father of my children never chose me, and he was out here, you know, living life and just like being selfish and being with other women and all this other shit, and here I am taking care of these kids dutifully. Still, you know, there was a time when we had feelings for each other, which is how we got these fucking kids in the first place, and then just suddenly it wasn't as important to him as it was to me anymore. And so that must be how Kim felt, and that must be how Diddy was, and
we did.
And now I have to go to his Instagram page and make him accountable for my boyfriend or my baby's father or whatever. Like, I think there's some of that too.
Yes,
you know, I can't say how much of it is that, but I think when you get to the point when you're on a page, the page of somebody who's grieving a dead loved one, and you're going, what a, like, well, how come you didn't do this? It's like, yo, for real? Like, are y'all showing up at people's funerals in real life and saying this to them? Like,
right, y'all showing up in people's funeral and smacking the flowers down in front of the body? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Like, when your friend has somebody die on Facebook, are you like in the thread like, well, how come you said blank? I just wonder, you know, maybe people keep that energy and that's just them, but it's just weird to me. Like, there's just no fucking line for people anymore, because it's like, you're a celebrity. I don't have to have the same level of empathy or even the same level of just like civility that I would have towards someone else,
right?
Because you're rich and you're famous, and I think that these are things that I want, or I think that these are things that no one deserves, and so now I have to make you, like, there's a punitive element to the way I interact with you.
Correct.
And it's fucking scary. This shit is scary to me. When I see people acting like that, I'm like, ooh, something's wrong with you.
Something wrong with you. And I don't know what the magic number is, but some people in their mind, they have a magic number. Once you get over so many followers, once you make over so much money, once you get so much attention, once you climb the, like, whatever that number is to you, people will actually interact with you completely differently, and they'll act like, just because you have a blue check mark, or just because you know on TV, or just because, you know, they've seen you here, they've seen you there, whatever the magic number is in their mind, because it's a number that's arbitrary, because nobody knows what the fuck the number is, but whatever the number is, people just feel like, oh, well, I could treat you any old type of way, because they have things in their lives and how they feel, they project those things onto you. So they assume, if I was in your position, I would be an asshole. So they assume that you're an asshole. If I was in that position, I would assume I was better than everybody else. So I'm going to respond to you like you think you're better than anybody else. But like you said, a lot of it is projecting.
Also, I would like to note, looking at his words and his responses to these people, I don't think people understand. And I keep trying to say this. This shit gets to people.
Right.
It's part of the reason why people say these things to celebrities, and they're so mean and over the top, and they still follow their pages and they still at them on Twitter and stuff. They're human beings. It's going to get to them. We only have a tiny fucking, like, pin, like, drop of light on us. Right, like, we're not celebrities in any, like, to me, in any stretch.
Mm-mm.
And I know some people would argue that or whatever. I'm not saying it because, like, I think because people think celebrity is such a cool thing to be, they're like, you deserve to be called one. The point isn't, I don't covet it like that. So we just get a little tiny drop of what these people experience every day, and it'd be too much for me sometimes. I'm like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Well, I'm like, hey, okay, I feel y'all, you know, I'm gonna keep it cordial and nice, but every once in a while you run into somebody that just sends you like a death threat, or you run into somebody that just fucking like says like some really shitty mean thing to you on social media, and I'm like, okay, like that came out of nowhere. That I feel like if you felt that strongly, you could just leave me alone rather than, you know, threaten my life or whatever the fuck, but okay, you know. And that's just us. That's just us. That's not, you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine if, like, you know, I had an issue with a family member and some of it spilled online, and then these motherfuckers would be like, let me tell you why your aunt ain't shit. Like, what? No, that's not okay. You know what I mean? And I think there's not a reasonable acceptance that you don't change. Everyone that tells like what these celebrities should do with their online accounts and stuff, they're not doing it themselves.
No, they are not.
And so what's the magic number where you're gonna do it? Nobody knows what the number is because you don't know, right? You just hope that one day you be so fucking I don't give a fuck, I will not share this experience with the world anymore, right? I have an intern out, but nobody knows what that number is.
Nope.
And then to compound things, some of the celebrities now are celebrities because of these online platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they know? It's like turning off the fucking power at their house. Like, how do you know when you need to turn off the power? How, like, Cardi should turn off her mentions and stop responding. How does Cardi know? She got here by responding and making a video about every fucking thing she thought. You know, Megan Thee Stallion, which I'm sure they're gonna turn on soon. Like, same thing. Like, she got here because she's a personality. She's telling us everything and every glimpse of her life and backstage and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you really like, well, I think, I'm not going to say, I can't speak for everybody else. It seems like she's almost like Cardi, where people like her more than her music.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, if she didn't make music, they still would be a fan of her. Same thing with Cardi.
Correct.
And that's not a diss to their music. Mm-mm. That's just saying, like, personality is strong these days.
Right.
Well, some, like, how do I know when I turn that off? Okay, I stopped making Instagram posts. Maybe people stop fucking with me. Maybe they go, I wasn't really here for her, you know, of her Instagram live. I wasn't really here for her albums. You know, I listened to the music just because I like the Instagram. Like, it's a fine line these days. And someone even like Puff Daddy, who people consider flights above the regular human being, as far as just echelons above any level of like needing to interact with us, the regular people. And he's on Instagram responding to people's pointed accusations and pointed commentary on the life that he's led, and all based off of the memory of a dead woman they never knew.
Right.
That he did know. And I don't understand how you can be so I don't understand how you can be just so callous. I just don't understand it. And this scares the fuck out of me about celebrity and mm-hmm. and ownership and entitlement. How
people view them.
Yeah, it scares the hell out of me. Because it's not that this is abnormal. I think this probably happens on every Instagram post of almost all these celebrities. You know, some might be better at ignoring it than others. But what do you do when you have a moment like this where you're grieving, you reaching out to people, and at the same time, you can't really reach out because these aren't people that know you or care about you. They just want to be entertained. You know?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And like you said, at the end of the day, they're human beings. And nobody's a robot. Nobody is to the point to where they just don't respond to anything at all. I'm just supposed to just let whatever happens and just don't respond to anything. Like, I'm not an emotional creature or human being. And the way social media is now is social. So it's about interacting and things like that. And most of us in our lifetimes on social media platforms will never have to deal with you say a comment and instantly you have hundreds of thousands of comments off of your comment. The most people will never experience that. You have thousands of people with the same nasty responses, you know.
Especially unkind comments.
Correct.
Like, some of the people that I see that are the most like, I talk shit to anybody. I don't play that shit. I come on your page and blah, blah, blah. Have like accounts that are private because they want to control the influx of content that are people that are allowed to see them and respond to them and be in their presence, because if they can't control it, they couldn't handle people like them coming for their neck every time they make a joke that's just off color, or every time they make a comment that isn't the most politically correct. They couldn't handle it. Those people are always the most sensitive. You know, it's always the people that like say the wildest shit to me, and when I reply back on Twitter, they're like, you have X amount of followers, how can you reply to me? I'm like, you just said some wild shit to me, dog.
Right.
Like, so now the rules are you can say whatever you want and I can't, because you deem me to be some type of celebrity. You decided. Like, who does that? I'm still a person. You wouldn't come to my house and say that. Like, right. What the fuck?
Right. And that's the thing. People do things to get attention. They get that attention and then they act like there's something wrong with you for giving it an attention, but you was the one hollering outside of my window, baby.
Right.
All I did was open up the window and respond, and I'm the problem.
Yeah.
But you actually started the interaction, not me.
Someone said to him, why didn't he marry her? And he said, I was scared, I wasn't ready, and that said, I'm ready now, but it's too late. Don't be like me. Like, that just sounds like a sad person online grieving, and then people just like, oh, I'm gonna needle him with this.
Mm-hmm. Because this is about watching his pain.
And someone did bring it up in the chat, and I did see this. Like, Megan Thee Stallion's mother died. And I have seen people already try to dictate what the fuck she should be doing. Because she's still doing shows and rapping. Because, you know, it's not like bills stop because your mother's dead. It's not like
right.
The concerts dates stop when your mother dies or anything like that. Like, if you're in a situation where you got contracts and shit with people, you can't just be like, my mother died, so y'all don't get a show. I mean, maybe if you're more established, you could, but for a lot of people, they don't feel that way. I think she's only 23. They also got upset because Trey Songz flirted with her via Twitter, but he didn't at her, but he said something like, just saw that big old freak video. I might have to knock Megan's head off for the culture or something like that. Like, basically saying he want to fuck her. Which is funny because she's a very sex positive rapper and personality. She's very open about being sexually like out there and the freak. That's literally what the song is about. And people was offended, like, I can't believe Trey Songz would say that. I'm like, he's Trey Songz and she's Megan Thee Stallion. Unless she says, nigga, no, get the fuck away from me, that's just kind of what them motherfuckers do. And then they got mad because she made a video dancing to his song, and people were saying, like, one, your mother just died, which I'm like, okay, what are you doing? What does that have to do with anything? Two, they really didn't want her to say yes to this dude on some, like, we own you, like, I've been following you on social media, I've listened to your album,
I have agendas,
saved your I want you to do the things I want you to do, and that's it, you 23-year-old. Like, it's crazy to me. Those two things I saw this week, I was just like, yo, that something's wrong with people.
Yes, it is.
You know, like, can't you just get a lift like everyone else and just say it was a microaggression, that he had it on light soft rock and you're a black person? And then it was even more of a microaggression. It was an aggression. Well, he turned it to the hip hop station when you got in. Just, can you just do that? And then you got mad that he turned around and said, how's your day going? You said, this motherfucker just assaulted me by demanding I give him the status report of my day. That's what we need. Chris Rock, he was at the NAACP Image Awards, which I guess were last night. Came from, I don't know what channel that came on. I'm assuming BET. I heard Beyonce was there, which I was like, damn, missed that.
I know, right?
You gotta put that in the show notes, guys. You gotta shoot that. It's gotta be like, and Beyonce will be there. That's how you advertise that. Chris Rock was at the awards, and he made a comment about Jussie Smollett, and Black Twitter was acting offended about it. You know, I was
in
actually
a comedy bit.
He was introducing an award, I think.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's live. So he has to go out there and, talk to the crowd or whatever to, you know, you know how they do.
Mm-hmm.
You say something funny and then you go up there and give the award. Now, also, it is kind of, live and, he's a comedian. It's kind of quiet.
I guess I gotta present an award. They said no Jussie Smollett jokes. Yeah, I know. What a waste of light skin, you know? You know what I could do with that light skin? That curly hair, my career would be out of here. Fucking running Hollywood.
Hey, Issa Rae.
Ain't she pretty? Mm.
Yes, no, just did. What the hell was he thinking? From now on, I ain't never gonna know Jesse. You're Jesse from now on. You don't even get the you no more. That you was respect. You ain't getting no respect from me. Okay.
So, of course, all the headlines just said, Chris Rock says no respect for Jesse Smollett as he takes him down.
And not trying to be funny, probably because, I don't know, I got a hard heart, and I'm not offended.
I don't think it's about having a hard heart.
I'm like, okay, like, he could have went harder, like, he made a colorism joke, ha 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 ha, you know, okay.
Yeah, people might feel a way about that, maybe.
Right, and everybody draws their lines when it comes to comedy, but, yeah, you know, for me, I'm like, hey, the way they was talking, I thought he was gonna come out and say, y'all know that nigga ain't shit, but yeah. that's not what I got.
Yeah, and also, I don't know about the, I don't think this is supposed to be a, you can't laugh at that colorism joke, because light-skinned people are the ones with the privilege there, so it'll be him being like, he wasted his privilege lying and shit, and you know, if I was light-skinned, I'd be more popular. Like, I think within the parameters of punching up and punching down, people supposed to be okay with that. But whatever, you know, breaking down a joke like that does not make it funny. I think the shit was funny. Here's the thing for me, because I saw it too, and it was mostly just the way it was reported.
Right.
I just saw a lot of, like, Chris Rock says no respect for Jesse Smollett. Chris Rock takes Jesse Smollett down. Chris Rock says waste of light skin, you know. And so I played a clip, and I'm like, in the context of him making a joke, there's nothing offensive about it. The only way that's offensive is if you decided Chris Rock can't make that joke because he's Chris Rock and you don't like him, which I understand. There's some people that don't like Chris Rock.
Correct.
You know, I saw people making a comparison. This is the same guy that sat there while Louis referred to himself as a nigger. And I was like, yeah, okay, I don't see what that got to do with this. No, but that's only if you don't play the clip and realize that it's a joke. Like, because if you take it as like him saying, like if he walked on stage in all seriousness and said, I don't respect Jesse Smollett, then I get you. Because then we're like, wow, he really said he don't respect Jesse Smollett, and somehow he's able to respect Louis C.K. Wow, what the fuck? And of course, this is Louis C.K. before the everybody, you know, the stories mm-hmm. and shit. But okay, like, I see you. I see what y'all saying. This is a joke. This is a joke. So then the second level of this is something that I think people are going to just have to get the fuck over. He did that shit. He got away with that shit. He should not have gone to prison for that shit. I think we can all agree. But that shit is super suspicious, and it would require a conspiracy of so, like, such a profound conspiracy against specifically Jesse Smollett for him to have been framed, targeted, and somehow run through the press mill and all this stuff for just some random reason none of us know. He's not the only black guy in fucking Chicago. I don't know why it would just be him. So there has to be some level of, like, levity where we can be like, yes, you can joke about this. Because what's happening now is people are trying to act like making a joke about this ridiculous situation that he seems to have put himself into.
Correct.
Is the same thing as, like, making a joke of if it actually did happen, which it did not. Like, I saw people being like, his lawyer was like, they could have been in whiteface. Did you see them niggas? Did y'all see them black ass niggas? Come on now. Whiteface, dog. Come on now. There's a level here where you can laugh because some of this is ridiculous, and if you refuse to laugh about it, then there's some agenda within you that won't allow you, you know, because Chris Rock came out there and joked. I thought when I played that clip, it was gonna be the other way, which is like a justified incredulousness that you would use a very serious real thing such as a hate crime to try to, for whatever reason, to elevate yourself mm-hmm. or to get attention, or I don't, whatever his reasoning may have been. I thought it was gonna just be a very indignant Chris Rock, like, yo, fuck this dude, it's not funny, it's not okay what he did, and I don't fuck with Jussie Smollett, so don't bring him up around me.
That's what
and
I
instead
thought.
You get the clip and it's like he just joking,
right? The way Twitter told me, I thought he was coming at the attic, and I was like, we didn't get none of that. What why is everybody so just upset?
Come on, man. It's just, it's wild, man. Like I said, I saw it on like the way people talked about it, and I was
right.
Like, I was like, damn, what Chris Rock do now?
Right, that was my
wow.
First
it
time.
Made y'all bring up the Louis clip. He must have really fucked up. And I played. I was like, oh, it's a joke. Calm down.
Right, that's the first time I was hearing it.
Like social media and stand up just don't go together at all.
Mm-mm.
It just don't go together because you don't have tone. Stand up is so much about delivery, tone, cadence, so many things. You can almost take anyone's stand up bit and describe it on social media and get people to be outraged.
Yes, you can.
Even if the person is somebody absolutely right. You know, they tried to do it to Ray Sonny a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, look at this shit. Look what she said. It's like, if in the context of being a comedian on a stage.
Right.
That's a context you can't divorce from things. It doesn't mean everything said on stage is funny or not offensive or whatever the fuck, but there is a context to it. That has been stripped away like the strength of the Black Panther by social media, and I hate that shit. Or not even social media, the internet. News articles do it all the time. Hannibal Buress says da 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 da. You like, if you play the video though, that it's all within the confines of comedy, so he's kind of allowed to play with this concept on the stage. At least he used to be. Then you take it, put it somewhere where you're not allowed those rules, and go, isn't this a shame? You know, you could write a transcript of this podcast and put it out there somehow and make us look stupid, fucked up. Guarantee it. You know, we've had people do that. Strip away the context of a bit and be like, see, they really think this is okay. I'm like, okay. All right. Just say you don't like me.
All right, crazy.
Right.
Like, maybe I'm old fashioned. It, you know, it's just some things I just dismiss as you just being a lunatic and be like, you know what? No, you be crazy all by yourself. Because this is it doesn't make sense. And when I get to people, I go, oh, you're just being irrational for right. No reason. Like I just have to dismiss it. And that's the thing, nobody wants to be dismissed for them just being, you know, so far out there, because the social media, everything that everybody says just has to be right and correct all the time. When no, sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you're the one off in left field.
Well, also context just kind of strips the sensationalism out of things.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like it. People don't like, it's very inconvenient. Context is a very, I know this as a person that sometimes I'm like, oh, I just wish this was a black and white issue so I could ride on this motherfucker because I don't like him or blah, blah, blah. But I don't like divorcing things from context to do that.
Mm-mm.
I like to be like, well, I mean, look, this is the whole picture. Now do I feel the same? Quite often you won't when you look at the whole picture or something, because most human beings have a level of reason that the actions they take are not like that fucked up.
Mm-mm.
within the context and the confines of what they're doing.
Right.
Is most of the time. And that's unfortunate when the only thing you want to do is rage against everything. Because then you find yourself being like, I'm going to treat what Chris Rock said as totally serious. And now you got this stupid shit. And I go click on it. All I got to do is click on the video and be like, this is not what you told me it was.
Mm-mm.
Well, okay, if you look at it this way, I'm looking at this nigga's on stage in a suit telling jokes. Is there another way to look at this? Did he write it in a fucking op-ed? This seems to be a joke. Calm down. So, anyway. Who else is speaking of Jussie, that Rahm Emanuel and them, you know, went at Jussie, the police commissioner or whatever his position is, superintendent, who have gone on TV. They talked about how, you know, this was a whitewashing of justice, you know, and they would know after Laquan McDonald, they would know about a whitewashing of justice. The superintendent also recently just came out. He's running for re-election. And he recently just put out a statement basically saying that sometimes police officers do get it wrong. Before this, he was saying police officers never get it wrong. I wonder what changed. Maybe it's running for re-election. He's had to soften that stance about corruption in the Chicago Police Department with the black site and the Laquan McDonald cover-up and all that stuff. Maybe. Interesting. Anyway, so one of the things they did was they went out to the state's attorney, Kim Fox, who was the one who dropped the charges.
Isn't that the one that recused herself?
No.
Okay.
She's the state's attorney, and they basically said, like, the way you handled the case and dropped the 16 felony counts, you're a part of the problem and we will be investigating you. I said, well, if you're gonna be investigating, I guess we should all expect a lot of leaks, because that seems to be your seems to be the MO for your department. Well, she responded to it. She wrote a piece in the Chicago Tribune. She explained in detail how Smollett has not been exonerated. He has not been found innocent. But she also says prosecutors are required to balance the severity of the crime against the likelihood of securing a conviction.
Right.
For a variety of reasons, including public statements made about the evidence in the case, aka Eddie Johnson, superintendent. My office believes the likelihood of securing a conviction was not certain.
Right, we're not gonna go. Y'all fumbled the bag so goddamn bad. Y'all could have said nothing, but y'all fumbled the bag so bad, and then you wanted to be like, "We gonna get him with everything." And she was, and I guarantee you, they talk all the time. Guarantee you, she probably went to them like, "Hey, can y'all drop some of these charges? Like, we can maybe get one or two, but 16." She was looking like, "Y'all, come on, like."
Well, I don't know how the charger thing works. So. Oh. I don't know if that's a police function or a grand jury function or like a judge or the prosecution function. So I don't know that that was the police that made all those charges.
Okay, but I know on her end, she was like, I can't charge it with all 16. So yeah. No.
So then she goes on. And then also Eddie Johnson made contradicting statements in different interviews. So he was fucking up the case doing all those interviews. Not everything he said, like you're giving the defense more fuel to be like, but you said this. Then you said this, which one is the truth?
Because you're saying it on public platform, which they can basically take and just public record, and they be like, well, you said this. And she was like, I can't work with this. Like, y'all giving me very little to work with.
She also made a mention of Laquan McDonald in her opinion piece. I'm afraid when I see a CPD commander slain by a four-time felon who was walking the streets. I'm also afraid when I see CPD resources used to initially cover up the shooting death of Laquan McDonald.
Cause that's a fact.
Which is something I've been waiting for somebody to say to Rahm Emanuel's motherfucking face the entire time he was up on that goddamn stage acting all incredulous. She explained his alleged crime was a class 4 felony, which is the least serious category, which also covers things like falsely pulling a fire alarm in a school. Any prosecutor, law enforcement leader, or elected official not grandstanding or clouded by political expediency understands the purpose of sentencing guidelines. As we all know, the famously corrupt Emanuel has made a career out of grandstanding. She didn't say that. That was in the article. So yeah, it's interesting that how this thing is turned, because, you know, in their way, in the going out of their way to try to prove Jussie Smollett was trying to frame Chicago as a hateful place with a corrupt police force, they just proved it. Going out of their way to try to tar and feather him, they just proved everything that people said about their department.
Correct.
Let's see what else. What else do I want to talk about? Maybe we'll do some fucking with black people and come to some of this other news tomorrow. Actually, do I want to fuck with black people? Let me see what happens. Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Okay, we do. All right, let's do it. All right,
let's go.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with. The wheel sign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Obviously, Chicago Police and Jussie Smollett. Oh, that's still 100 constantly. An Atlanta teen was shot and killed after knocking on the wrong door. 19-year-old Omarion Banks was shot repeatedly for merely knocking on a neighbor's door in an apartment complex in Southwest Atlanta. 32-year-old Daryl Bynes has been charged with murder and is being held in Fulton County Jail. Bynes is also a black man. According to police, Banks got a Lyft ride home and was dropped off near the wrong breezeway around 12:30 a.m. on Friday. Banks and his girlfriend recently moved into the apartment complex. Banks was unfamiliar with the area, walking up to what he thought was his apartment, but it was the wrong door. Banks was on FaceTime with his girlfriend when he knocked on the door. He walked away soon after, but that's when police say Bynes grabbed a gun, went onto his balcony to confront Banks. After a brief conversation, he shot Banks.
So he was shot walking away from the door and clearly not trying to get in the house. Banks' girlfriend said, "I heard him say, 'Sorry, I'm at the wrong house.' The man said, 'No, you're not, nigga, you at the right house.' And he shot him 2 more times. Another witness said, "I see him running around the corner and all you hear is him saying, 'I'm sorry, it was the wrong door.' He said, 'You ain't come to the wrong door,' and shot him 1/3 time. I saw him drop to the ground."
She was on FaceTime with him.
Bynes initially told police that was a witness. The last one. The first one was the girlfriend that was on FaceTime. The second one was just a witness who saw it. Bynes initially told police he shot Banks in self-defense. But officers say he shot the teen from his balcony as Banks was coming down the stairs trying to get away. Rest in peace, Amarion Banks. So this is the thing. This is not a white person killing a black kid. It's a black guy killing a black kid. Because ultimately, a lot of the stuff about the lack of worth to a black life and the threat of a black male is a societal issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a white people only issue.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's why that third verse on Kendrick Lamar's song, where he's talking about being the biggest hypocrite of 2016 and all the woke motherfuckers got mad at him. And I said, I'm not mad at him.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's not okay because we do it. It's never okay. It's not okay when white people do it. Like, this idea that you die because you knocked on the wrong door, because someone doesn't think your life is valuable because they can just take it. You know, the toxic masculinity in this dude that made him want to kill this guy for knocking on his door. Kill him. You know, this is something that does commonly happen as far as black people taking other black people's lives, and especially black men taking black men's lives over bullshit. Gang territory we don't own, you know, like shit that, like, and it's not saying like only black people do this. This is a pathology of blackness, but I do care about our lives, and I do wish we all understood that America doesn't want us to care about each other's lives, which is why it makes it okay to kill somebody and you don't give a fuck. Cause this is a cold-blooded murder.
Mm-hmm.
If what is being said is true, this is murder. This is not a whatever. And there's some kid that doesn't go home anymore over this. You know, like it's not something that is. It's why when people say shit like, "What about black on black crime?" pejoratively, I'm like, "Fuck you," because we the only ones that care about this kind of shit. You won't hear anybody else talk about this. The only time other people will bring this up will be to say something about how black people don't deserve good policing or some stupid shit. No, I'm just concerned because I don't want us killing each other over stupid shit like this. It's a needless waste of life because I knocked on the wrong door. We just had a white dude go to prison for trying to kill a black kid who knocked on his door. To me, this is not that much different.
Mm-mm.
Like, the whole point, every gun, every bullet sold in America, the whole point of that sale is that you can kill a nigga with it. That's it. That's the whole promise why white people have so many fucking guns, because they're so paranoid they're gonna have to kill one of us, you know. And a lot of black people have guns for the same fucking reason. So yeah, rest in peace. I gotta go to the next session, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pause this real quick. Yeah, so 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, that's 100 for me too. You know, I think often people just had this like thing in their head, especially, well, people that aren't black, none of us have it, but people that aren't black have this thing in their head where we don't care about this kind of shit. You know, when Hadiyah Pendleton got killed in Chicago, like, we don't care. Those are our kids too. We care.
Yes, we do.
You know, so this just such, and this dude threw his life away. I don't know what the fuck his life is like, but he gonna be in prison over this stupid ass shit.
Mm-hmm.
You literally could have just let this kid go about his goddamn business. So yeah, that's 100, man. All right, let's go to and that's the poison of this white supremacy shit, because when you throw your life away to kill somebody like this, you also don't care about your life. You didn't do this to protect your life or any of that shit. You just don't give a fuck either. So now it's 2 lives just wasted.
2 families that have been damaged.
For what? The fucking point could it be, man? Like, you just wanted to kill somebody. Like when you talk to him like it's a fucking like it's a movie. Oh, it's the wrong house today, nigga. Like, okay, now you're in prison. What? Tough guy shit. Like, what was so insecure in you that was the solution to you? Like, people think I don't, like, not, I shouldn't say people. Some assholes will try to attempt to act like I don't care about black men when I bring up this shit. But this is just how much more I fucking care. Cause if you see each other as human first, you won't want to do this evil vile shit and you won't want to see it done.
Correct.
Both sides of it matter. Like when you're the kind of person that enjoys being homophobic, enjoys being misogynistic, enjoys being violent, enjoys being all this other like negative shit, it injures you as well. So people think protecting us is to let us be that way and be like, leave us the fuck alone. And I'm like, that's not protection. You know what I mean? Like that's, I have a father, that's not how my father raised me. Well, look, anything you want to do is right because you a black male, so fuck it. That's the end of it. Nah, it's, you can, like, you still have a responsibility to carry yourself in a way that you want to be treated and a way, and treat people that way as well. Can't just be about you all the goddamn time. And that's even in this tough ass world that tries to like take you down. You still gotta find a way to not, it's still taking you down if the only thing you care about is yourself and self-preservation, then it's still won. Then white supremacy still won. If the only thing you can see is yourself and the own self and everything you do is justified because you're selfish, then you still lost. The game still beat you. So that I saw that article, just, I don't know. Sorry that dude died, man. That is a needless, pointless death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't help anyone out. Nothing was enhanced by that other than probably the prison system. Nothing else was enhanced by that. Just another notch for white supremacy to win. Let's see what else happened. Liam Neeson shared a new apology for that racist revenge fantasy he had.
People still ain't gonna go see that movie. What are we talking about here?
I don't think that movie's in theater. Is it coming out on Blu-ray? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Something must be happening.
He trying to get the Blu-ray sales up.
Mm-mm. What did it sell? Aluminum wood? I mean, how many tickets did it sell? A good two?
All right. Yeah, he shared a new apology over the last several... Man, I wish I could do a Liam Neeson impression. I can't. God, mm-mm. It would be... Over the last several weeks, I reflected on and spoken to a variety of people who were hurt by my impulsive recounting of a brutal rape of a dear friend, female friend, nearly 40 years ago, and my unacceptable thoughts and actions at the time in response to this crime. The horror of what happened to my friend ignited irrational thoughts that do not represent the person I am. In trying to explain those feelings today, I missed the point. It hurt many people at a time when language is so often weaponized and an entire community of innocent people are targeted in acts of rage. What I failed to realize is that this is not about justifying my anger all those years ago. It is also about the impact my words have today. I was wrong to do what I did. I recognize that. Although the comments I made do not reflect in any way my true feelings nor me, they were harmful and divisive. I profoundly apologize. I thought he was gonna deflect, to be honest. I was like, yo, I know this dude about to come out and be like, what about Jussie Smollett? But nope. Mm-mm. He didn't. He absolutely,
yeah, cause,
owned it.
Yeah, because people are looking like, your last movie didn't do well. And mm-hmm. So he's an older dude. I mean, he's either white dude, so he'll be okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, some people are like, I don't know if we want to make you the star no more, because you know they had to cancel the red carpet of your last showing, and you know, like, who knows, you know, how people are looking at him as far as pitching movies to him. I mean, he'll be fine.
He did apologize though, Karen.
That's true.
So
this is how we do it.
Hey,
this is how we do it.
La, 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 la. This is, hey. Have a seat over there by Viola Davis. Okay,
this
Liam.
Is how we do it.
We appreciate you coming on back, man. Now we can go back to your movies again. See, Taken 7.
I like that two-step. Come on, Lil.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Go. Come on, come on. We're trying to get you on beat here now. All right, now.
Now, don't try to kiss Viola Davis in front of us. We seen how you did it the first time. It didn't look too good.
It didn't look good at all.
All right. We saw your movie. But I will start attending your revenge fantasies again. Why didn't you just say this in the beginning? That's all you had to say. You had to go on TV and say you wasn't racist no more. Just tell us you apologize. It's that easy. Can't wait to see you get revenge on them wolves. Is that what that wolf movie was about? Nah, they was black people, and you had to go out and I never saw that wolf movie. It sounded like the plot to the wolf movie. They was raping somebody. You just went out in the woods and killed innocent wolves about their day. I'm with it.
This is how we do it. Let's flip the old school back.
This is how we do it.
Oh, welcome back. Zero to 100, Karen.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to keep it real. It's a zero.
You know what? I'm going to keep it real as well. It's a zero. Liam Neeson's, welcome back. I couldn't stay mad at you anyway, man. I almost went to see the movie. I ain't going to lie. It took everything in me not to see that goddamn movie. I said, you know what? I just couldn't buy the ticket without thinking about this nigga saying that shit. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't. And y'all know me. I don't boycott shit, but if I can't, it's not gonna be a good time. I can't see myself participating. I don't tune in to have a bad time. And I was like, I'll tell him, I'm not gonna be able to talk to none of my friends about your little movie.
None of them.
Hey man, did you see the movie? Of course not, nigga. I love black people. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. So I didn't go see it, but now I might check it out on Blu-ray, see how many people you kill for no reason. For you broke my bumper. Now he's just killing motherfuckers.
Yes.
All right, last one. Simone Sanders and Brittany Packnett attacked by white man in Delta Airlines lounge.
Okay, Simone Sanders, that's the lady who used to work for Bernie, right?
I think you're thinking about Nina Turner, but maybe Simone did too.
Oh, wrong person, my bad.
She is a black politician woman though.
Okay.
And she may have worked for him as well. I can't remember if both of them did, because I get their roles confused myself. I know Nina Turner was the one that was like helping run this campaign in 2016, but I can't remember if Simone Sanders was exactly.
Okay. I if she was, then I know she was connected to him at mm-hmm. Some people said she was a campaign manager. That's okay. Why I was like, I remember her having some connection to Brandon.
Oh, she was a surrogate, they said. Yeah, Nina Turner was the campaign manager.
Okay, now I don't know who the other person is.
Right. She did work for Bernie after Bernie yelled at Black Lives Matter activists. Okay. So I guess they both did. All right. Well, my bad. Anyway, point being, Karen, she and then Brittany Packnett is an activist.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
And political pundit. Activist, and I think she's a part of a podcast. I think it's called, you know what? I don't want to tank it. Something about like America though. I think DeRay McKesson is on it.
Okay.
I've listened to it before.
Is that Pod Save America? Somebody said.
I think it's Pod Save America, because there's another one called like Pod Save the People. And
yes,
Yeah.
It's Pod Save America. It's one.
I get them confused.
Yes,
and I didn't want to direct y'all to the wrong resource to have y'all be like, Rod, I went to listen. It was three white men. So I just know that she.
Yeah,
has,
the Pod was saving something, like somebody
yeah,
said.
Yeah, Pod was saving. I think it's Pod Save the People. I think
one is Pod Save the People.
They said Pod Save the People is the one with the white guys.
Okay, so it's Pod Save America.
So Pod Save America is the one. All right, look, that's what the chat room said. Let me put their name on it so I don't get in no trouble. Sweet Feet said that. Okay, y'all, so if y'all if y'all go to the wrong one, that is Sweet Feet, okay? That told y'all that Pod Save the People is the one with the white people. I thought it was the other way. So, okay, now everyone else is telling me Pod Save America is the white people. Pod Save the People is, God damn it, what does this segment become? This is why I have a stress ball. Moments like this. All right. Y'all just get out there and get the Pod Saving People. Okay, listen to them both. They're probably both great podcasts. Anyway. According to The Root, the incident occurred at Delta Airlines Sky Club as the two women were waiting to board their flight home. A man who was heavily intoxicated came and caused a scene.
And you know what? They're in the Sky Club. that's expensive. That's when you like chilling because you got a 3-hour layover or whatever, so they have like a special place that you can like go behind and chill. So they was there.
He was speaking loudly and cussing to someone on the phone. Sanders explained to the route. The lounge attendant and two other people asked him to quiet down. I interjected after he was rude to the lounge attendant, who was also black, according to Packnett. I leaned over and said, pardon me, will you please keep it down? Then he began speaking even louder. Sanders added, we looked over again, and now he's speaking in another language and giving us the middle finger. Mind you, we are sitting on the same bench. So I get up and ask again, sir, please, this is ridiculous. No one's being rude to you, and you are terrorizing this group in the lounge. It's not okay. He continues to give me the middle finger. I sit down, and then the flight attendant gets back up. Next thing we know, he jumps up and throws his water at the nearest person, Brittany, like drenches her whole body, then pushes her down. He lunges at her. Then I jump in to defend her. It was terrifying. Holy shit, they put a picture of him up. And he looked like a white dude. After the incident, Packman took to Twitter to detail the entire ordeal with pictures of the assailant. She also added that the man was subdued only after the other men stepped in and highlighted the fact that the attack did not occur in America. I'll be damned if I came all the way to Africa to be attacked by a white man, she said, as she continued condemning both the airport and Delta security for their slow response.
Come on!
I repeat, Duncan Conrad Hockey of the UK assaulted me in the Kenya Airways lounge tonight. Kenya Airways is a member of the Delta Sky team. Security took nearly 30 minutes to arrive. This is unacceptable. By Friday morning, the women still had not heard from Kenya Airways or Delta. However, Packner said despite the tire ordeal, her trip was spectacular. I'm glad she got to enjoy her trip, but damn, that's wild. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, that's definitely 100, man. Flying well black, I guess, man. That's because at first I thought, oh, he knew who they were or something. It's not, he didn't even know who they were. Mm-hmm. He was just like,
you brown,
y'all told me to be quiet, I'm about to fucking act real crazy on y'all, man. That's wild. It's even crazier because I'm the kind of person that wouldn't even tell somebody to be quiet, not mostly just because I think certain people and actions they do in public is almost like the coloring of a bumblebee, where you're just like, mm-hmm. You're just like, this motherfucker talking loud, being disrespectful to the staff in here, he wants to start some shit,
come on,
you know. And then there's also just that extra layer of, and I'm black, so when I punch him in his fucking face, security gonna show up and shoot me, and they won't take 30 minutes. they be that quick as fuck when it's us, don't they? Don't be no 30 minute wait. You be like, when did the cops get here? Damn, all I did was cough and the motherfucking three cops showed up. Oh man. All right, but yeah, I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah, I coughed. They ripped off their NBA pants and had police uniforms. What the fuck is this?
Right. We got a code 742, cough, Negro coughing.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
In the Sky Lounge. I'm gonna need backup. I'm gonna need extra guns. Please bring SWAT. All right, let's do something fun before we get out of here. Let's do some, guess the race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Ba-dum-boop.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we asked our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race, and of course everyone playing is racist. Let's see what we have today. A Florida woman is accused of shoplifting and masturbating in a van on the way to jail.
Oh shit, what did she shoplift? A rabbit?
A Pinellas County woman walked behind the counter yelling, screaming, and punching after employees caught her shoplifting from a beauty supply store. It happened late Monday at Silky Beauty Supply in Dundon, where investigators say she tried to take less than $10 worth of merchandise. An arrest affidavit says Tammy Lynn Bonefield, 45, grabbed and punched one employee, then kicked another one as she was confronted. Authorities say she denied stealing anything, but the items were found with her and returned to the store. Bonefield was transported to a jail in a van with a boy who was less than 16 years old. The child was separated from her by a metal partition. The arrest affidavit claims she made sexual comments to him and exposed her breasts and genitals. While her pants were pulled down, she masturbated and asked if he was aroused. To which the little boy probably was like, yes, because everything arouses a 16-year-old boy. Please get away from me, ma'am. Bonefield was charged with lewd and I'm serious. It's like a 16-year-old boy, you can be like at home, you just you just be in like a fucking home room and it's like, why is my dick hard? I'm just studying math.
It does its own thing.
You ever notice that long division kind of look like nipples? And it's like, oh no. Bonefield was charged with lewd and lascivious exhibition for the van incident, along with battery and petty theft for the events that led up to it. Last month, she was accused of identifying herself to law enforcement as Black Sheep Trouble Square Pants. At the time, she was charged with providing a false name or identity. All right, Karen, guess the race of Tammy Lynn Bonefield, a.k.a. Black Sheep Trouble Square Pants.
I'm going to go white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they think of Black Sheep Trouble Square Pants.
Related to SpongeBob.
Right, I guess his cousin. White, nothing gets between her and her bundles. Black, horny honky, I need some hard cock. White, they do say cock. Beauty supply, it was Sally's. I would say white, but Silky's is black. White, black, white, a white, black, white, like Pantene, Black Bob pervert pants.
That's a good one.
White because it wasn't Sally's. White beauty supply store named Silky says black, but the name Tammy Lynn and relating to SpongeBob says white. Rachel Dolezal, white, a loser but still convinced she's God's gift. The correct answer is, Karen, you went with white.
Mm-hmm.
You got it correct. Must have been in Silky's looking for some BBC. Many of you got it wrong.
She was picking up the wrong thing in Silky's.
I know. Ew.
Silky's could have hooked you up, baby.
Are you aroused by this little 16-year-old boy? Ma'am. Of course I'm aroused. I'm a 16-year-old boy.
Right. My dick gets hard at everything at this age. What are you talking about,
man? Is the wind blowing? Of course. That is not a good measure of whether or not what you're doing is erotic.
No, okay? It is not, ma'am.
I'm tying my shoes. Oh, my God. All right. Next. Man allegedly tells Ohio police, these aren't my socks, after he's found with drugs.
Whose socks are they in?
I don't know how they got on my feet. An Ohio man pulled over for a traffic stop was caught with cocaine in his sock. Then he told police, these aren't my socks. This happened in Austin Town. Police report Damian K. Clark Jr., 20 years old.
Oh, Jr., okay.
Was pulled over just before 4:30 a.m. Saturday after allegedly failing to use his right turn signal on South Navarre Avenue. The officer said he smelled raw marijuana coming from inside the vehicle. Loose raw marijuana was found on the floorboard. It's not my floorboard. He's a Jedi. These are not the droids you're looking for.
Come on.
During a search, the officer found a small plastic bag suspected cocaine inside his left sock. Clark then said, these aren't my socks. At the clock was taken into custody. I honestly hate that. Y'all ever do that? Y'all wear somebody else's socks and then you find drugs in them. You're like, what the fuck, man? I just want to wear some other people's socks real quick. Oh, it's one of my big pet peeves. Okay, no.
All right. Never had that happen before.
All right.
All my socks is cocaine free.
After he was taken into custody, police found alprazolam in the front of his pants, along with white powder substance in a torn plastic bag in his front shirt. Officers said he asked officers to throw away the evidence, claiming someone gave me the pills to hold. We were at a party. This guy's very unfortunate. Driving a car with someone's marijuana on the floorboard. Then he's got socks with cocaine in them from somebody else's socks. Then he's got other people's drugs in his pocket. He's just holding them for the person. Like, hey, you know how drug addicts will give you drugs to hold for them? Like, hey, can you hold my drugs real quick? I'll collect them at a later date because I got willpower like that. No, Karen? Okay. You never, okay. A lot of quiet over there.
Mm-mm.
Loose marijuana was also found in the back of his shirt. Who knows who the back
in the back of the shirt? Oh Lord!
Who knows who the back of the shirt belonged to?
Right.
When Clark arrived in Mahoning County Justice Center, police seized $740 found on him, along with a cell phone. They also found a pill in his left side. Clark said he forgot that was in there. Oh, so that one he admits to. Oh, now see that one? That's mine. I just forgot it was in there.
That is other shit.
I was framed for the rest of these myriad of drugs.
I don't know who did the socks. I don't know who sprinkled marijuana in the back of my shirt. I can't tell you nothing.
He now faces charges of conveying drugs and drug abuse. Carried. Guess the race of Damien K. Clark Jr.
Damien K. Clark Jr. You know what? I'm going to go with my first instinct, and that is white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room. Junior means daddy is in his life, and this is Austin Town. Oh, that's a honky. Toes, candy, black. He's a Negro. Rick James, unity, black. 20 years old, wearing hand-me-downs, black. Driving while smoking, name is Damien, and is a junior, black. He's on that stuff, black. It ain't mine, sir. What is drugs? Innocent white male. White for the boldness, black, Damien's black ass, dumb ass, staying in jail, and black. Karen says white, and the correct answer is black. Many of you missed it, but some of you got it right.
I'll take that one.
Okay. That's what you want to do.
Hey, baby, you took yourself off screen and just made me bigger.
Oh, I think my crowdcast just fucked up. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Oh, great. All right, let me pause this.
Okay.
All right, I think I played the booze already, or the applause for everyone. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what he looks like.
Oh no!
Come along and ride on a fantasy voyage. He looked like Coolio.
Oh no.
Man, Coolio's going through some hard times.
Oh no, and the struggle braids. Maybe he should have been the one hitting up Tiganut Silkies.
Yeah, he should have robbed Silkies. That's true. All right, Karen, let's go to the bonus round. You're now 1-1.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round of Guess the Race. So far, Karen is 1-1, but how will she fare in the bonus round? All right, let's see. Which one do I want to do next?
And you know, after seeing that pick, I believe that them was somebody else's socks and somebody else's shirt.
Why you say that? I say, why do you say that?
Because the way his hair, you know, and shit, stuff like that, look, you go, oh yeah, you were borrowing people clothes, baby.
Oh. And the drugs that was holding in his pocket was somebody. Okay, well, I guess he got an advocate now. He done Jesse'd you. Don't you tell Karen that man did that crime. He is innocent.
Now,
you cannot trust Allentown or wherever we was police. Okay,
I didn't say he was innocent. I just said I believed it was somebody else's socks. Now the drugs was his, but them socks, now all that belonged to somebody else.
Yeah, he did have a look like the drugs definitely did belong to him.
But the socks and that shirt, that was something you borrowed from somebody.
A man has been arrested. Okay, a man called, he's the one called 911. He got arrested. Police in Florida say a man called 911 to report a crime on Friday, but he accidentally incriminated himself in the process.
Oh shit.
John Omer Single, 50, was arrested by West Palm Beach police on March 22nd after he told an officer that he paid four people to engage in sexual relations in his Days Inn hotel room.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going down at the Days Inn. Single reportedly shelled out $500 to a group of prospective lovers. Is that what we call them now? I guess we are getting a bit PC, okay? It's getting a little politically correct up in here. aka hoes.
So it's about, we're about to have a swingers gangbang, you know.
I mean, it wasn't swingers. He paid $500 to a group of prospective lovers. It sounded like he was about to have a reverse train, a tunnel. They were going to run a tunnel on him.
They're going to run a tunnel!
But he didn't, they didn't show up. All of them failed to turn up and had seemingly run off with the cash.
He paid up front?
I mean, how do you handle that transaction? I don't know enough about prostituting to really say what you're supposed to do. Same time? I mean, what do you do for that transaction?
You send the money to the app afterwards. I mean, what is happening here?
Police arrived at his hotel room to report a theft where the victim come defendant is said to have made a number of incriminating statements. He must have been on drugs, too. How do you tell the cops this? Listen, I paid them $500. They were supposed to come here and fuck me for money. Illegally. And they didn't. So I would like them women arrested.
They don't care nothing about them women. You going to jail.
Right. Well, we found one of the culprits.
You.
Yeah.
Everybody else is going to be set free because the money is in their hands, baby.
You're probably going to be a little disappointed with the results of our investigation, but
mm-hmm. And you
we have to, solved the crime.
Yeah, and you got to pay another $500 for bail.
Right.
And none of us are going to do group sex.
The star witness will be you. So, you against yourself. I clarified with Single when he was telling me he solicited another person for sex. He confirmed that he did. Single said he called the police because after giving individuals the money, they did not come to the room to engage in aforementioned sexual relations. What else was he saying? Jesus. Also, I did some drugs. And,
I might be high when you get here.
I'd actually like to put a Yelp review on my cocaine. It was not 5-star quality. So, who else do I need to talk to about that? Got a big old bag here. Oh, wait, hold on, where'd my socks go? Thought I had a bag in my socks.
Is this my shirt?
He was then arrested by the officer charged with purchasing service of a prostitute. He has no previous criminal record, which you can tell by the way he talked to them cops. And he was released from custody on Sunday, and he met his $500 bond. So he had the money. Should have just called some more prostitutes.
Right?
A hearing for the case is scheduled April 29th. West Palm Beach police are thought to have yet made contact with the four individuals accused of stealing the $500 issued to them by Single. So, I see why he's single. You know what I'm saying? Oh, guys, I do have fun over here. But yeah, Karen, guess the race of John Omer Single.
John is a John. He's white.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. I would like to speak to a manager for the poor services from these hoes. That's not a race. White. Think the police is his own personal customer service. White. Gotta be a white man to be that entitled. White. His penis wasn't the only thing left high and dry. White. White. Aww. Man not fucking white. White victim of Cardi B. Okur. AppleCare didn't, tell him he'd be arrested. White. Yeah, I mean, isn't this what pimps are for? Like, pimps are basically the managers.
Supervisor.
I have a customer service complaint. John Jacob Jingleheimer White. The correct answer is, and all of you guessed the same thing, and it's right. He's white.
Okay.
I wonder if I can. Okay, cool. So it's still recording. And now this wants to. Oh, damn. All right. Do your thing.
I was on pause long enough.
Yeah, thanks for helping me vamp. I don't know what the fuck that was about. Shit just started acting stupid for no reason, y'all. I didn't do anything. And now I still have to wait for Firefox to let me go back to the sore ratchetness section. Man, that's good grief. I'm just glad we didn't lose a recording, to be honest with y'all. Computer just went on strike. Like, this motherfucker is not paying the rates that we agreed to.
Right.
Peter
was like, on union. No, I don't like these rates.
I think I can use my phone to maybe get in here and look at some stuff. Let's see. Tags or ratchetness. There we go. How about this one? Shootout at a church of Scientology near LA leaves sword wielding suspect dead and two cops wounded.
Oh shit.
What the fuck is happening with Tom Cruise Church?
Mm-hmm.
Two California police officers were wounded and the suspect was killed during a shootout Wednesday after police responded to reports of a hooded man with a sword entering the Church of Scientology of Inglewood. Yay, yay. The suspect, who was not immediately identified, was shot in the head and later died at the hospital. That's how it be, man. One officer was struck in the hand and the other was hit in the arm. The officers, both in their late 20s, were hospitalized in good condition with non-life-threatening injuries. Police Chief Mark Frontarato said the shootout unfolded around 3:30 p.m. local time inside the front entrance of the church. Gunfire erupted when police approached a man wearing a hoodie and wielding a sword. Officials did not say who first fired or whether a gun was removed from the suspect. Witnesses told Los Angeles Times that a heavy police presence across several blocks followed the shooting, but beyond hearing the pop of a gunshot, they were uncertain what happened inside the church. Police aren't playing around. All of them out there, 52-year-old Ron Sigger told the paper. This is my city. I live in Inglewood. I want to know what happened. I demand to speak to customer service. Officials believe the suspect acted alone, but were still working to determine the motive. The suspect's white-colored Bentley. Oh, he was pushing a Bentley? And he still wanted to get the sword out on him? He was found parked near the church and is being searched for evidence. Church Scientologist released a statement thanking the police and offering his full support to authorities during the investigation, as long as they don't ask too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
We thank the Inglewood Police Department for their rapid response protecting our parishioners and staff members. These officers are doing a heroic job protecting the community and keeping houses of worship safe against hate crimes. Oh, is that what this was?
Apparently so.
Inglewood is a city of about 100,000 residents, and who cares about the rest of that? Alright, y'all, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate y'all, and we'll be back later on in the week. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.